Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today Maseches Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Yud Beis, the 8th Perek, Yesh Nochlin. This daf is dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Avi Umori Moshe Bembero. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Shmuel quotes a series of five psukim proving that a husband inherits his wife, and the Gemara seeks to explain why they're all necessary. Number one, the Torah required a woman who inherited her father's estate to marry with an own shevet, so the estate should not be transferred to another shevet when her relatives inherit her. Although Rabbi Shmuel said this refers to Hasavas Habal, the transference through the husband's inheriting his wife, it may not be conclusive because perhaps the pasuk is about Sibas HaBen, the transferring through her son's inheriting her, but a husband does not inherit his wife. Number two and three, two psukim which forbid the transferring of estates to another shevet may only be adding loving onto the positive asay, requiring her to marry with an own shevet. Number four, a pasuk implying that Pinchas owned land, which his father Elazar did not, may be a result of Pinchas inheriting his mother. And number five, a pasuk implying that Skuv's son Yair owned cities, which Skuv did not, cannot refer to Yair inheriting his mother because another pasuk would be unnecessary. Rather, it must be that Yair inherited his wife. Rapapa questioned even this source, and according to the Rashbam, his question goes unanswered. Point number two, Abai asks about the requirement for an inheriting woman to marry someone from her own shevet to keep her estate in her shevet. Sof, how can misakra nachla? In the end, an inheritance will still be uprooted, meshifted to ima, meshifted to abba, from the mother's shevet to the father's shevet, because her mother's estate will be inherited by her husband, who is from her father's shevet. Abai was uncertain if he said shekvar husba, that the estate was already transferred previously, as soon as the woman inherited her mother, since the woman herself is of her father's shevet. If so, we're unconcerned about the mother's estate transferring to her husband's shevet. If we do not say Shavar Husba, Abai explains that the Torah would require an inheriting woman to marry a man, Da'avui Meshifta Da'avua, whose father is from her father's shevet, V'ime Meshifta De'ima, and whose mother is from her mother's shevet, thus preventing the mother's estate from becoming completely transferred to the father's shevet. And point number three, two psukim prohibit a woman who inherited an estate to marry outside her shevet. The Gemara at the beginning of this stuff explained, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that both psukim may refer to a son inheriting her, to add to loving to the positive asay. Here the Gemara quotes two brises which identify the first pasuk as referring to Sibas HaBen, transferring through a son's inheriting, and the second as referring to Sibas HaBal, transferring through a husband's inheriting, proving that a husband inherits his wife. The first price, a quote on this stuff, quotes the first pasuk, "Vosisov nachal of Bnei Israel memata el mata," an inheritance of Bnei Israel should not be transferred from shevet to shevet. Besibas abenakas medaber, the pasuk is discussing transferring through the son inheriting. It cannot be discussing transferring through the husband inheriting his wife, because of the other pasuk, "Vosisov nachal memata lemata acher," an inheritance should not be transferred from a shevet to the shevet of another, is discussing sibas abal, transferring through the husband inheriting. The next stuff will explain the basis for this assertion. So once again, the three points are number one. Rabbi Shmuel quotes a series of five psukim proving that a husband inherits his wife, and the Gemara seeks to explain why they are all necessary. Number one, the Torah required a woman who inherited her father's estate to marry with an own shevet, so the estate should not be transferred to another shevet when her relatives inherit her. Although Rabbi Shmuel said this refers to Hasavas Habal, the transference through the husband's inheriting his wife, it may not be conclusive because perhaps the pasuk is about Sibas HaBen, the transferring through her son's inheriting her, but a husband does not inherit his wife. Number two and three, two psukim which forbid the transferring of estates to another shevet may only be adding loving onto the positive asay, requiring her to marry with an own shevet. Number four, a pasuk implying that Pinchas owned land, which his father Elazar did not, may be a result of Pinchas inheriting his mother. And number five, a pasuk implying that Skuv's son Yair owned cities, which Skuv did not, cannot refer to Yair inheriting his mother because another pasuk would be unnecessary. Rather, it must be that Yair inherited his wife. Rapapa questioned even this source, and according to the Rashbam, his question goes unanswered. Point number two, Abai asks about the requirement for an inheriting woman to marry someone from her own shevet to keep her estate in her shevet. Sof, how can misakra nachla? In the end, an inheritance will still be uprooted, meshifted to ima, meshifted to abba, from the mother's shevet to the father's shevet, because her mother's estate will be inherited by her husband, who is from her father's shevet. Abai was uncertain if we say shekvar husba, that the estate was already transferred previously, as soon as the woman inherited her mother, since the woman herself is of her father's shevet. If so, we're unconcerned about the mother's estate transferring to her husband's shevet. If we do not say Shavar Husba, Abai explains that the Torah would require an inheriting woman to marry a man, Da'avuid Meshivta Da'avua, whose father is from her father's shevet, V'ime Meshivta De'ima, and whose mother is from her mother's shevet, thus preventing the mother's estate from becoming completely transferred to the father's shevet. And point number three, two psukim prohibit a woman who inherited an estate to marry outside her shevet. The Gemara at the beginning of this stuff explained, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that both psukim may refer to a son inheriting her, to add too loving to the positive aseh. Here the Gemara quotes two brises which identify the first pasuk as referring to Siba Saben, transferring through a son's inheriting, and the second as referring to Siba Sabal, transferring through a husband's inheriting, proving that a husband inherits his wife. The first brisa, a quote on this stuff, quotes the first pasuk, "Vosisov nachal of Bnei Israel memata el mata," an inheritance of Bnei Israel should not be transferred from shevet to shevet. Besibas aben akas medaber, the pasuk is discussing transferring through the son inheriting. It cannot be discussing transferring through the husband inheriting his wife, because of the other pasuk, "Vosisov nachal memata lemata acher," an inheritance shall not be transferred from a shevet to the shevet of another. It's discussing sibas abal, transferring through the husband inheriting. The next stuff will explain the basis for this assertion. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Yud Beis, and our standard Siman is a Rubik's Cube. A Rubik's Cube. So here goes. When the woman died and her husband inherited her Rubik's Cube, with psukim written on five of the sides, which she got from her mother, who was from the same shevet as her husband's mother, her children learned psukim in her memory, one about Sibas HaBen and one about Sibas HaBaal. Once again, slow motion. When the woman died and her husband inherited her Rubik's Cube, that must be Siman Daf Kuf Yud Beis. When the woman died and her husband inherited her Rubik's Cube with psukim written on five of the sides, which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel quotes a series of five psukim proving that a husband inherits his wife, and the Gemara seeks to explain why they are all necessary. So when the woman died and her husband inherited her Rubik's Cube with psukim written on five of the sides, which she got from her mother, who was from the same shevet as her husband's mother, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether an inheriting woman has to marry someone whose maternal shevet also matches her own. So when the woman died and her husband inherited a Rubik's Cube with psukim written on five of the sides, which she got from her mother, who was from the same shevet as her husband's mother, her children were in psukim in her memory, one about Sibas HaBen and one about Sibas HaBaal, which reminds us, a brisa identifies one pasuk b'Sibas HaBen transference through a son inheriting, and one b'Sibas HaBaal transference through the husband inheriting. So once again, when the woman died and her husband inherited her Rubik's Cube with psukim written on five of the sides, which she got from her mother, who was from the same shevet as her husband's mother, her children were in psukim in her memory, one about Sibas HaBen and one about Sibas HaBaal. All right, so now it's time for four Balabak Chazara, Daf Kuf Ches. So the Siman Daf Kuf Ches is a pickpocket based on the word kach, take. So here goes. The mummy pickpocket. Pickpocket, that must be on Daf Kuf Ches, kach, take. The mummy pickpocket, who began stealing after being told she would only be manchil and not nochil, anything which reminds us. The eighth parak begins with four categories of relatives regarding inheritance. Yesh nochlin umanchilin. There are people who both inherit from and bequeath to certain relatives. Yesh nochlin umanchilin. There are those who inherit but do not bequeath, and there are those who bequeath but do not inherit, and there are those who neither inherit nor bequeath. The Mishnah gives examples of each category. For example, a woman bequeaths to her sons but does not inherit them. The same applies to a woman and her husband and a mother's brothers. So the mummy pickpocket began stealing after being told she would only be manchil and not nochil anything. Took money from her husband's pocket while he was mourning his dear son he had inherited from, which reminds the Gemara addresses why the mission began with a father inheriting his sons and not the reverse. So the mummy pickpocket who began stealing after being told she would only be manchil and not nochil anything, took money from her husband's pocket while he was mourning his dear son he had inherited from, saying that his son was closer to him than his brother, whatever it be, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, why we assume one's children are closer relatives than a man's brother? It answers because he stands in his father's place for Yud, to marry his father's Amma Ivriya, and for redeeming ancestral land that the father was Makdish before Yovel, so will not transfer to Kohanim at Yovel. Although a brother stands in his deceased brother's place for Yibum, the Gemara responds, is there any Yibum except where there's no son? When there's a son, there is no Yibum. Daf Kuf Tes. So the Siman Daf Kuf Tes is a Hatzalah kit. So here goes. The Hatzalah member gave the daughter of a man who died suddenly a Yerusha card from his kit. Hatzalah member, kit, that must be run Daf Kuf Tes, Hatzalah kit. The Hatzalah member gave the daughter of a man who died suddenly a Yerusha card from his kit, informing her that she comes first, then her grandfather, and then her uncles. Which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi brings a different source for how we know that a father comes after the deceased person's children in inheritance. The pasuk says that if a man dies with no son, v'avartem es nachal asol uvito, and you shall pass his inheritance to his daughter. This teaches, b'malkam bas atamavir nachal mina av, where a daughter is left by the deceased, you shall pass the inheritance away from the father, meaning she inherits before the father, v'atamavir nachal mina av b'malkam achin. But you shall not pass the inheritance away from the father, where only brothers are left by him. Rather, the father inherits before them. So the Hatzal member gave the daughter of a man who died suddenly a Yerusha card from his kit, informing her that she comes first, then her grandfather, and then her uncles. While her mother cried bitterly that Mishpacha's name is not called Mishpacha, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, according to the Tana who derives a father's inheritance from She'ero, how does he know it does not refer to the deceased person's mother, since the Torah uses the word She'er about both? Rava answers that the pasuk describes the relative as mimishpachto, from his family, which cannot refer to the mother because mishpacha's av kruya mishpacha, paternal family is called family, but mishpacha's aim ain't a kruya mishpacha, maternal family is not called family because the pasuk says l'mishpachosam l'veisavosam, according to their families, according to their father's household. So the Hatzal member gave the daughter of a man who died suddenly a Yerusha card from his kit, informing her that she comes first, then her grandfather, and then her uncles, while her mother cried bitterly that Mishpacha's aim is not called Mishpacha. Under a painting of a family tree of Aaron Bas Aminadav and Pinchas titled Lom Yidbak Adam Betovim, which reminds us, Blazer said, Lom Yidbak Adam Betovim, a person should always cling to good people, meaning he should marry into a family of righteous people. Try Moshe Shanasa Bas Yisro, because we have Moshe, who married the daughter of Yisro, a one-time priest for Avodah Zorah, Yatzmi Men Yohonasan, and Yohonasan, the priest for Pesel Micha, descended from him. On the other hand, we have Aaron, who married the daughter of the righteous Aminadav, and the righteous Pinchas descended from him. Daf Kuf Yud, so the Siman Daf Kuf Yud is a gold key ceremony. So here goes. The gold key to the city, gold key, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Yud, gold key ceremony. The gold key to the city was presented to the brother, the bride, because his great reputation was so helpful in making the shidduch, which reminds us, Rava said, Hanosi isha atzarek sheyivdok ba'acheo. One who marries a woman should first examine the character of her brothers. A brisa gives a reason. Robanim domim la'acheyaim. Most sons resemble the mother's brothers. Since his future sons will be similar to his wife's brothers, he should investigate their character before marrying her. So the gold key to the city was presented to the brother of the bride because his great reputation was so helpful in making the shidduch by the town treasurer who just quit his job at the local Avodah Zorah, which reminds us. The pasuk relates that the men of Dan challenged Yehonasan's becoming the priest for Pesel Micha. Do you not descend from Moshe? He responded that he had a tradition from his grandfather Moshe. Lo'am yaskir adam atzmo l'Avodah Zorah. A person should hire himself out to idolatry and not require the financial assistance of people. He mistakenly thought this literally meant to service Avodah Zorah, but it actually meant Avodah Shazarah Lo, work which is strange to him, meaning undignified. So the gold key to the city was presented to the brother of the bride because his great reputation was so helpful in making the shidduch by the town treasurer who just quit his job at the local Avodah Zorah. While the recipient's children looked on, knowing one day the key will be inherited by the son, not the daughter, which reminds us, another source is brought that where there are sons, a daughter does not inherit. The pasuk says, V'hisnachaltem osam livnechem acharem, and you shall keep them as an inheritance for your sons after your teaching, benechem v'lo benesechem. Your sons inherit them, but not your daughters when there are sons. Daf Kuf Yud Alf. So the similar Daf Kuf Yud Alf is a kayak. So here goes. The kayak of sons. Kayak? That must mean Daf Kuf Yud Alf. The kayak of sons who are racing to inherit their mother before their sisters in another kayak got there, which reminds us, the Gemara brings machlokas if daughters inherit a mother together with the sons. So the kayak of sons who are racing to inherit their mother before their sisters in another kayak got there, saw the Bechor on the shore by their mother's storage room, who was upset he didn't receive Pishnaim, which reminds us, the Gemara explains why a Bechor does not receive a double portion in his mother's estate. Ultimately, Rava brings up Pasuk, Lo Mishpat HaBechorah, to him is the right of the firstborn, teaching Mishpat HaBechorah Le'ish, the firstborn's right is for a man's estate, the father, Lo Mishpat HaBechorah Le'ish, but the firstborn's right is not for a woman's estate, referring to the mother. So the kayak of sons who are racing to inherit their mother before their sisters in another kayak got there, saw the Bechor on the shore by their mother's storage room, who was upset he didn't receive Pishnaim, standing next to his father who came to inherit his wife with the word Lo on his shirt, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a source that a husband inherits his wife. Rava reinterprets the pasuk, "Nesatim es nachaso she'era lo," and you shall give the inheritance of his relative to him, because he holds goring mosifin u'dorshin. We can subtract and add letters within a pasuk and darshin it. Thus, he takes the vav of nachaso and the lamed of l'she'ero and forms the word lo. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one. Which daf do we discuss if brothers who divide an estate are like Yorshin or Lakuchos? That's on daf Kufzayin. Good number two. Which daf do we discuss why Bechor does not receive a double portion in his mother's estate? That's on daf Kufyad Aleph. Good number three. Which daf brings Rabbi Shmuel's five sources that a husband inherits his wife? That's on daf Kufyad Beis. Good number four. Which daf do we discuss why the sons precede the father in inheritance instead of the brothers? That's on daf Kufches. Good number five. Which daf do we learn Yohanan's defense for becoming a priest for Pesel Micha and his eventual tshuva? That's on daf Kufyad. Good number six. Which daf do we discuss whether an inheriting woman has to marry someone whose maternal shevet also matches her own? That's on daf Kofiot Beis. Good number seven. Which daf do you learn four categories of relatives regarding inheritance? That's on daf Kufches. Good number eight. Which daf do we have a brice which identifies one pasuk, Besibas HaBen, and one Besibas HaBal? That's on daf Kofiot Beis. Good number nine. Which daf do we have machlokas if daughters inherit a mother together with sons? That's on daf Kufyad Aleph. Good. And number 10, which daf do we learn? Mishpacha's aim in a kruya mishpacha. That's on daf Kuftes. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.